Wow, Yao Ming is tall.
She like 7'2" or something like that?
She's 7'5", actually.
Wow.
Who?
Yao Ming.
Dude, they eat a lot of general size chicken. Of course, he's gonna be 7'5".
Aren't most Chinese people short?
Shut it.
Episode 29.
No, I
thought this was episode like 67.
Yeah, it is.
All right, I'm just gonna say it's episode 29, and we'll go.
Fine,
with that.
Be like 6.2.
You and your like anal number.
We should have like 6.2 million, and then we'll be the highest.
Would it surpass everybody?
Yeah. Be like, oh, sorry.
Nobody else has an episode 6 million.
Yeah, on episode 1,000, I'm on episode 6 million.
Considering we run, like, our shows run between an hour and 2.5 hours every week, that would be pretty impressive to have 6 million shows. We would be recording nonstop.
Probably should every hour.
We've been recording since 1962.
Exactly.
But anyway, I am Chris. I'm here as always with Tony.
It's been a long, long week.
Yeah,
I'm sucking it up for the podcast.
Fozzie.
What up, doggies?
And the birthday
boy. Oh, no.
I am
sick. Apparently it's his last birthday, though.
And Jeff
I am
does
sick,
die.
But I'm still winning.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, we're high energy this week, guys. High energy.
I'm trying to bring it, man.
Tony.
Hey, Jeffrey. Yeah.
What?
You know that you have the same birthday as Jessica Biel?
Yeah, of course I do.
They were separated at birth, in fact.
Impressive.
The same year?
Yeah, same year and everything. She turned 29.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, that's a total icebreaker when you get to meet her.
She's your sister, Jeff.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna bang her.
Oh.
Oh dear!
It's like I'm trying to think of the. I think it was Brendan Fraser and Heather Graham.
Right.
Did you ever see that movie where they were brother and sister and they boinked?
Ew.
Is it Blast to the Past?
No, no. It was Say It Ain't So.
Oh
no,
shit!
I've never seen
that.
It.
It's pretty funny. And yeah, he bangs her and like he finds out that he's her sister or half-sister or something like that. And
that's awkward.
He like, gives up on life and becomes, like, a dog catcher. And then finds out it wasn't his sister, and then he goes and chases her down.
Oh, my God. You know what?
And
I think I've
again.
Seen this before.
So the message is, don't let incest get in the way of your love or something?
Something like that.
Even if it
is
your sister.
That's a great message.
Anyway.
Take that to heart, Kentucky.
That's freaking Kentucky-ous.
Tony, why don't you tell us about Alan Wake?
So I started playing Alan Wake this past weekend, and it was, you know, it was pretty, but I really did enjoy it. It seemed to be filled with a whole lot of horror game cliches.
With what game cliches?
Horror game cliches.
Oh.
Like, it basically took its light and dark mechanic. So you have to, like, shine the light on the enemies until their, like, shadow dissipates and you can actually shoot them. Yep. And just put that over top of generic bad guys from every game you've ever played. Like, look, it's birds. Look, it's a chainsaw dude. Look, it's a guy with a knife. Look, it's a guy with an axe. It just...
Well,
for some reason, playing through that, it lost me.
Well, to be fair, the enemies that you're fighting are, like, they kind of come off like lumberjacks. Because you're traipsing around, like, the Northwest United States, and there's like all these logging places there that you go through, and so that kind of makes a little bit of sense. The birds don't, but...
right?
I mean, it just felt like a really it had one mechanic that they thought was really interesting, and combine that with a really generic horror game theme. Like even the plot is very like, if you've read a Stephen King book, you basically know what's going to happen.
Well, that was I didn't play through it. I played like an hour of it. That's what I thought was kind of cool about it. Like if you're into Stephen King and shit like that, like if you're into horror, gameplay.
I mean, the shooting's okay. I'm with Tony. The knocking down the enemies with the light does get a little annoying, especially with like you have to keep changing batteries and.
Also, I want a sight on my gun, please. A sight.
Well, that's why the light's there, dude. You have to.
Yeah, it basically is your sight. Like,
yeah, it's annoying though. I mean, think about how that works in real life. Like, would you walk around like it doesn't fit. It takes me out of any sort of realistic. Like it breaks my connection with the narrative to think of it like that. Like you don't. That's not how it works. You don't point the flashlight and your gun at the same time. Plus, there are points at which he has the flashlight in one hand and a two-handed gun in the other, like a shotgun or like a rifle or something, and yeah, he can somehow use them both at the same time. It just doesn't make sense.
Man, no. I sense lots of haterism on this episode.
Yeah, that
and,
is ridiculous.
And I gave this game like its due. Like I've played through the first two episodes. There's only six. I may try to finish it, but I don't love it. I don't adore it.
It's all right. It's not for you.
That definitely wasn't for everyone either.
You
like...
went so detailed into that. I think it was supposed to be definitely some sort of fantasy. I don't think it's supposed to be realism.
There are levels of realism where or levels of fantasy where you're breaking any sort of connection you could have with the game.
I guess.
Like, it's fine if things disobey the law of physics in a space game. I don't really care that much.
But you don't know the whole plot of the game yet.
Right.
So there's a reason for kind of what's happening and like why it's happening. But, I mean, if you don't like it, there's no real point in you continuing to go on with it.
I mean, the story's not awful. I may play it for the story. Plus, the achievements are really easy, I have to say.
Yeah, you can get a good amount of achievements just by playing through it.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
So, Fozzie.
Gogi.
You've been playing some retro gaming.
Retro gaming!
Yes.
So tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently I've been hiding under a rock or something, and I didn't hear that Vagrant Story was coming out. And I've actually wanted this game out as a PS1 classic, you know, for a good amount of time. So when I found out that it was only $5.99, it was an easy buy for me. And while I was buying that, and while that was downloading, I started playing Final Fantasy VIII again because I was just kind of in that type of mood. And I got about 4 or 5 hours in that game. And let's see, I'm about 6.5 hours in. I'm about to start my first seed mission. And man, that game is so much fun. I love the sound effects to it. It's so simplistic, but it's so nice and like soothing when you play that game. It's very, like, it just has that simplistic feel to it, but I think it works for that type of setting, or an RPG in general. besides that, I played maybe half an hour of Xenogears, and then I played a little Beyond Good and Evil, but I'm pretty sure all of us want to talk about that once.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Beyond Good and Evil towards the end of this. You also played some Killzone 3, though, right?
Yeah, I beat it, too.
So what's your continued impressions of that?
A lot of people will say that the ending was it was cut off very short, and I tend to agree with them. I feel that it didn't really, you know, like something happened and then that's it, and it just cut to credits. I was like, what? What the hell? If it would have extended like maybe 5 or 6 more minutes, it would have just like really wrapped the game up nicely. But there is kind of a like a little bonus like 30-second thing that really leaves you hanging at the end. In terms of story, Vassar was one of my favorite bad guys in a video game that I played of recently. So, they had pretty high expectations, I thought, to be able to recapture the energy. Because I think Tony was saying this last week, is that in Killzone, it's weird because the characters are the bad guys. Like, the bad guys are the one with the character, which I prefer because you don't really see that in games nowadays. Usually, the bad guy is, like, some dude that's just completely generic. But in this one, it kind of felt like, Vassar was, like, kind of like a Hitler-based type character where he wanted what was best for his country. He was very prideful in that sense, and he was a very good speaker and everything. So
you're saying you like Hitler?
I'm not saying that I
Bobby
like
was
Hitler, but
you heard it here first, folks.
I'm saying that he was a genius when it came to like his tactics and everything. He was a very smart man, and I think that's what you feel with Vassar too. So basically, God damn it, Jeff.
You're
Basically,
defending Hitler, all right.
what
Well
I'm
done.
trying to say
You
is that
fuck Hitler.
I really like the story log
Things
or
like
story
cheese.
dialogue between the Admiral and Stahl, who's the arms dealer for the Hellgas. And I thought that Stahl was a fantastic character, like well created, just very. He's like power hungry type guy who. He doesn't seem as prideful like for his country, but he wants to rule the world, the universe or whatever. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm really like sucked into the Killzone universe now. I went back and I watched like all the cutscenes from Killzone 1 and 2, so I'm like fully caught up on the world and in general, like what's going on there.
So I've been playing it a bit as well, and I don't. I haven't played. I mean, obviously, I haven't beaten it, and I'm still pretty early on. But I just can't get into the flow of that game. They like you'll get like a quick like 2-3 minute action sequence, and then there's a cutscene, and then another quick 2-3 minute action sequence, and then it takes you back out of the game, and it's another cutscene.
How
And
far are you into it, though?
like maybe the first 3 levels through.
Oh, okay.
And it's like it's put you in a tank, and so you do this tank thing, and it's like hop out cutscene, and then it's
Well, see, the thing is that in the beginning, you're kind of like going through all those flashbacks, which, yeah, get confusing. Like, you're going back and forth. It's 6 months ago, now it's back. Now it's 6 months ago again, now you're back.
well, I haven't even got into the I haven't even got into the present day.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
just trying to get out of
Right. Yeah.
and there's no flow to the game. Like I'm just
Well, yeah, when it gets better. But I
Okay.
know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, the mission types are cool. The gunplay is fine. It's just like it's just the pacing just seemed really off at the beginning. So
Yeah.
the multiplayer
That's.
though, I've been playing a little bit of that, and
Oh, okay.
I like it. I like the multiplayer.
Really? Haven't gotten into it yet.
It's good stuff, especially like the operations mode. Which is a new mode for Killzone 3. Basically, like it gives you there's two objectives. You're either the humans or the Hellgast, and
Right.
as you complete objectives or stall the opposition, like then it kind of breaks for a second, kind of like in a invasion mode in Halo. But it'll give you like a cutscene of like what's going on, and like if you're doing really good, like your character will be involved as like one of the primary people in that cutscene of what's happening, going to the next stage of the mode. So that's pretty cool. And the Warzone mode is still fantastic. It's that's the one where it's the six different types or seven different types of gameplay, and it's all thrown into like one where you play best of seven. So it's like 5 minutes of, team deathmatch, and then it's like a VIP mode, and then it's like get the propaganda speaker. So they just keep throwing different objectives at you. It's pretty cool.
Right.
And the leveling system is decent. It's very Battlefield Bad Company-ish in the way it works, but it's effective, and I think it's better than, like, you know, what Call of Duty does, so.
Cool.
Yeah, so I've been playing. I went back. I put the call out there to some people, said, hey, what PC game should I play next? They told me I should finish up Dragon Age, because I've been...
That's what I told you.
Yeah, a bunch of people told me that. And I've gone back to it, and I don't know. I know why I stopped playing it. but I'm going to push through. I have all four factions, or three of the factions together. Like, I can mount my army up now. So,
nice.
I should be near the end, I believe.
Just make sure you get them all. You'll need them all.
I got the Dalish clan. I got the dwarves. I got the mages and the Templars or whatever, and I got the Red Cliff. So I think that's it. I think it's all of them. I'm gonna finish it just to say I did it. But
now, are you getting the second one when it comes out?
Probably not when it comes. It comes out next Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, right.
I think I'll pass on that, because I'm still playing Killzone, and we're talk about some of the other games we're playing, but you know, I have enough on my plate right now that I probably won't jump into Dragon Age 2 right away. I'll give it a little bit of time. Tony, would you recommend playing Dragon Age Awakenings?
I did not play it. Okay. I had enough of Dragon Age with the core game. Like, the core game, if you really play it, it's like 40 hours long.
Yeah, I'm like 30 hours in at this point, but I don't do a lot of the side quests, so...
Right.
I know there are people who played it for over 60 hours without any of the extra stuff, so...
But, Jeff, you've been playing Dead Space 2, so why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was a big fan of it. Laugh it up, Fozzie.
Amazing piece of work right there, Jeffrey. What? He's a big fan, people.
I don't know. I think it's pretty... I mean, the gameplay, I don't see any real big changes from the first one, except for zero gravity is like a lot cooler now.
Yeah, it's definitely better.
You just kind of click a stick, and then you're free-floating. You could go any direction you want.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Other than that, it's just like the same gameplay, just a lot, I don't know, I guess like it has cooler sequences in it, like, and it looks incredible, man.
Yeah, I love the opening to that game. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like,
there's like a train sequence near the beginning that's very cool, yeah, too. So now, I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
So you're on, what, chapter 5?
Yeah.
So you're only about a third of the way in. I actually beat it over the past week, and that game falls apart a little bit towards the end. You kind of said it before the show started, that it gets a little repetitive in its gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
It gets really repetitive towards the end, and it introduces an enemy that you can't kill.
You've got to run from or something?
Basically.
What, like Nemesis or something?
Kind of. Well, you can, like, kill him, but it regenerates. Right. So it's always on your ass. So you're basically just running away for most of, like, the last couple chapters. Like,
sounds like fun.
Yeah, once you get to... You're gonna come across... There's some awesome sequences, Jeff, but then you're going to hit a part where you're, like, on a drill deck, and I think the game just kind of drops for a little bit there until the ending, which is fantastic. And I also played the DLC, which is a different character. It's not Isaac. It's some British dude. He's trying to get to his wife. It's cool. I don't know if it's worth $7. It only take you about an hour and a half to run through.
Right.
Maybe 2 hours if you're playing on like the hardest difficulty. And I noticed it being a lot darker than the main game, even though you're going through some of the same areas, and I think it's because Isaac's suit, the way his suit is set up, it actually emits light from it. But yeah. This guy only has like a little orange light on it, so everything's a whole lot darker. Unless you have your gun sights up, which works as a flashlight, you know.
Right.
It's all right, I guess.
Ray said it made him cry.
It's an emotional ending. Like, it did not make me cry.
It made you cry?
Did not make me cry.
Chris hasn't cried in his entire life.
Dude, Chris doesn't shed tears.
Are, well, I, like, are any of you
if
gonna...
They are, they're damn manly tears, let me tell you.
I can't spoil the ending to the DLC. Like, it just... Like, there's... You get to what you have, and you have to make a choice of, you know, how you're going to handle it, so...
Right.
And I guess Ray has a little more estrogen in his system this week. but yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Like, if it was on sale for, like, half off, would you get it?
Yeah. I mean, I got it at $7. Like, I was like, yeah, that was it. Like, but yeah, at you know, you drop that down to 260 points or whatever, 300 points. Like, it's worth a pickup.
Cool.
All right. Next on the list. Fozzy, you know what? Know what game I'm going to talk about next?
Get excited! I'm excited.
Two Worlds.
Mom is
two.
Excited though, let me tell
oh,
you.
Oh god.
Fozzie's favorite good. Game.
So I played some Two Worlds too.
Oh dear.
Courtesy of Teabag Radio.
It was amazing, right? Greatest game you ever played?
No.
Oh. Whoops.
Not at all.
Whoops. Right. Didn't think that one through.
So they inflicted Two Worlds 2 on you. They gave me Alpha Protocol. I mean, are they trying to kill us?
It's all right.
Slowly. A slow death.
Sean loves it, genuinely.
It's
Sean gave me Majin. He is not too good.
Two Worlds, I could see why he probably likes it. And like, and listening to him talk about it, once you get past a certain point, the world opens up, you have shit to do, and you can kind of forget the main storyline. But I've been playing the game for an hour and 20 minutes now, and it's still in the prologue. It's still the tutorial for the game. Like, every time you come across something, it's they're trying to teach you a new mechanic.
Oh, I hate
it's
that.
It's like, and some of the mechanics are just like really boring. Like, here's how you can craft stuff. I don't want to spend 10 minutes learning how to craft stuff. Just let me buy a weapon.
right, yeah.
And I get, like, if you're into that, like, you're into like combining shit and doing, like, it's probably gonna be great. The game is graphically flawed. It's not a very, it's not a good looking game.
I thought you were gonna say flawless. Nope, just flawed.
It's not a very good looking game. There's a lot of clipping issues. I actually like you have freak when there's these conversations. The main like the character you're talking to will stop, but you still have control of your character. So I was actually like you can walk around a little bit, and I was walking up and. The other characters were thrusting their arms out like to express stuff, and they were going right through me. it was just kind of funny to watch that because that shouldn't happen in a big production game, which probably, you know, goes to show that Two Worlds 2 is not a big production game.
I was going to say, I don't think it's...
Right.
I never played the first one. It's playable, though, so I heard the first one is not playable. The story's okay, I guess.
I don't know how it got a sequel, to be honest, but fantastic.
It sold well.
I'm hoping for a third.
Yeah, at the time, it was one of the few like RPGs that was out there.
Yeah. We're going to PAX next week. Last year at PAX East, I actually saw this game behind closed doors. And they basically show like the opening sequence is the exact same thing that they showed a year ago, like the exact same. Like there was no edits to it.
They're probably getting a little high, smoking a little pot, and being like, "Hey, this will work."
Like it's kind of funny.
So it was the Fozzy development strategy.
Yes. It looks like it didn't work out so well.
I'm gonna play it a little bit more to maybe try and get to the part where the world opens up and see if you know. I like it anymore, but it's probably not going to be a game for me. Normally, those aren't type of games for me. So,
if you get too bored, you could always loan it to me. Cause...
Yeah, I'll play that shit.
Yeah, play the packs. Share the wealth.
And I played some Bulletstorm.
Oh dear.
Yeah, doggy.
That game is
bad for you.
Fun.
I heard it's fun. Forever. I heard it's good.
It is
Gears of War.
It is not.
Gears of War.
although I will give you this, there's a character early on that looked pretty much like Dom without shoulder pads. but I think that might have more to do with the fact that the Unreal Engine is
makes everyone look exactly like the that. Same.
Yeah, they all kind of have like that.
Oh, it looks like I took my steroids today. That's lovely.
They don't though. They don't really look like they're on steroids. Like, in fact, most of your crew dies early on, and you pick up new
spoilers.
That's not really
spoilers.
The humor in it though is actually pretty funny. There's a Red Ring of Death joke like in the first 5 minutes of the game. That's kind of amusing.
I might rent it.
I mean, I don't know how much play. Like, I heard it's only about 5-6 hours long.
Right.
And I honestly don't see myself going back and playing a ton of it. But what I am playing, I'm enjoying of it so far. So, the whole leash system and the point system is all incorporated right into the story, and it makes sense. So there's a reason for the numbers popping up on screen, and it's actually pretty well done.
Don't you dare try and defend this game.
It's worth a play.
Don't you ever defend this game.
I am defending it. It's good. I like it better than Killzone.
I heard lots of people say it was good, so.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of fun. The humor's, you know, it's amusing. Some of the writing is, you know, not great, but the delivery.
Epic-esque.
Yeah, it's not. It's like they kind of mask their poor plot line with like some ridiculous over the top cursing, but it's
dick ticks.
It works. I haven't even heard that yet. Like, I have not hit that part of the game.
You have not been honored yet.
I think you guys would like the opening though. It starts off with you're pretty much trashed.
So it's like Conquer?
Yeah, I guess. Except you have
that's the greatest intro rifle. Ever.
I love
the assault rifle.
That's the best fucking game ever.
Yeah. You have to get Seltzer. It's your first mission.
There's a whole lot
better.
There's a whole lot more environmental kills than what was in the demo.
Right.
It's fun. So
yeah.
You did a good job with it.
I'll rent it.
Right.
I'll get it one day.
Yeah, I'll probably like.
I heard enough good stuff. I believe everyone.
So let's talk about the big game of the week.
The big game.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Xbox Live Arcade release. Jeff's been telling us we should play it for
a long time now. You done bad.
Beyond
talking
Evil.
About?
You done. HD. You hyped the game too much. You gave
That's
it
true.
Way too much juice. Juice.
I'm having a blast with it right now. As
of course,
speak.
You're having a blast with it.
It's ruining my life.
I can't eat. I can't sleep. No, but you go ahead, Christopher.
Oh, here, before you guys start, this is what we're going to say. If you play through the entire game, and you don't like it, I will give you $10.
All right, now I'm not
Good
like
here, folks.
I'm not even gonna say I don't like it. Like I'm enjoying. I enjoy
yeah.
the character of Jade.
Right.
She's well written actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like the banter she has with is it PJ
Page.
Page. I think he's well written too. In a goofy sort of way.
Yeah, he's kind of the comic relief character, and
yeah,
there to as a support character.
Except he will pull at your heartstrings eventually. I'll tell you that.
You just spoil it for
him. When they stuff an apple into his mouth and serve him
He actually makes jokes like that, which is kind of funny. Like,
how about the fart joke? he has like these hover boots that he fuels with his farts.
Awesome. Oh God,
it's awesome. Yeah, I'm.
Go ahead, Fox.
I like the gameplay for it. Being able to fight, it almost has the Batman Arkham Asylum where you can easily transfer from one enemy to the next, which I really love. That if I'm in a combo with this guy, I can switch it up and hit this guy back a little bit, and then you know keep hitting this other guy to finish him off.
It's very simplistic too. Like
yeah, it's exactly. It's very simplistic. It's easy, which is nice. And so far, what I like, what I've seen from the story seems very promising. Like Chris was saying, I like the diverse set of characters. You have like the Rastafarian rhinoceros, which is awesome. I mean, that's
Mama
badass.
Go Garage, you know. When your mama won't go, you go.
And I like that about the game, but the one thing holding it back, yes. The non-separate X and Y controls, you know, is coming back to that. God damn it! It's like when if you had like a perfect score on an SAT, but you didn't write your name down. You know what I'm saying? It's like
what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying that
it's you want to invert your controls.
Yeah, no.
You want to play wrong.
No. I want to play down is up, up is down, like inverted, mm-hmm. like I'm used to, but I don't want. Right is left and left is right. No.
Oh.
It's I don't even know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Wait, do you play normal or do you play inverted?
I just play however it is.
I'll play
I
normal.
So you play normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Five, he's inverted the controls except that it inverts it entirely.
What, yeah, for the inverse, camera?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Why
dude,
would
I play inverted for everything I play, oh, and this is the only game that I've ever had this concern with in the past 5 or 6 years.
Because the game is 7 years old.
but still, I mean, even on the Xbox, you didn't have that. I mean,
camera is the least of your worries. What are you talking about?
No, dude, that's the thing is that it's that little imperfection about the game that. It's such a factor in the game, though. Everything that I do, it controls, and it's always in the back of my head where I have to like reverse everything that I'm used to. And what they're showing is a complete lack of, lack of care for an entire generation of gamers
for the
that invert
the
their
world.
Controls. Inverted
that's
is not.
Those people are wrong.
No, they're not
that's true.
Wrong, dude.
They're backwards.
You're not flying
no,
a plane.
It's not backwards.
Man.
Yeah, you're controlling a person on the ground. You're not.
Really, you want to start this control business.
If they're gonna look up. They're gonna look
no,
left.
You guys aim like you're holding the gun like freaking barrel up. I aim when I'm like holding it like downwards. You see, like with. Like normal.
So Fozzie, you're lopsided, and we should all hear about your complaints about it.
I'm just saying that when you push the butt of a rifle down, it's going to aim up.
Yeah, but you're not firing a rifle. You're controlling a little girl on screen
who
walks
funny.
I'm just
saying that in general.
She walks funny.
It doesn't matter. I'm used to inverted, and the fact that it's like it's so ass backwards that I can't even change it. That is the one thing holding the game back. It turns me off so much.
You know what? I have a bigger complaint than that.
I thought you were going to say it's boring or something.
No.
I don't like where the buttons are. Like, the A button is... I don't know. I don't like how the action button is the X button, and which is...
Yeah, there is A kind of weird... Yeah, they do have weird configurations.
And like,
I noticed that, too.
I think
it's something you get used to, though.
I accidentally used all my health items...
Right.
By mistake, because I think it's linked to the red button, the B button.
Yeah.
I just accidentally was like, God damn it! Now I have none left.
I don't know. I feel that controls is one of the easiest things a developer can control. Like you know, and the fact that they couldn't do that just disappoints me. It really put a damper on the game for me.
I do think the game has it's a little like to get off of controls, get back to the actual game itself. I think it's a little bit of a slow burn. Like it's not bad, but now I'm like two and a half hours in maybe. And,
yeah,
it takes a while.
You are just getting to the point where it starts to get really good. So I mean, might be a different discussion next time.
Sure.
On this. Because I'm playing through a level right now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad, but I'm also not, like, ready to, like, lick my Xbox because it's in there.
That's a sight.
It would be a sight. Tony, you haven't played it yet, right?
No, I downloaded the demo, but I haven't played the game yet.
Be interested to hear what you have to say about it. You're a big supporter of, if it doesn't catch you early on, stop playing it.
Yeah.
You guys are just old people now.
You know what it is? It's that, I think that's actually part of it. It's that I don't have nearly as much gaming time as I used to. I look forward to this as my release. And if I'm not having fun in the first few minutes, then I'm just wasting my time.
Well, and I think some of it was also like when I played games when I was younger, I didn't have another $60 to go out and get a different game.
Right.
Another $10 to go download another arcade game. Like, games need to kind of catch you right away now. I have the money to go get a new game. If I don't like this game, right, fuck you. I don't need to play you. But I am going to continue playing the game, Jeff.
Cool.
Poor Jeff.
I'm just telling you, man. Once you get through the factory, you're going to be like, wow.
Fuck this factory.
How far are you into it, Fuzz?
I'm at the Black Isle.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to waste before it gets really good.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. All I want to hear.
That's the quote.
You got like another hour before it starts getting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Black Isle is the second mission, pretty much. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not far in, but just because the controls piss me off to no end. The worst thing about it is that when you switch to camera mode, everything is hunky dory. It's fine. Left is left, right is right. And then right when you get out of camera mode, it goes back to shit-tacular mode, where right is left, left is right. I'm like, really? Why only the camera mode can I do inverted and then also the awesome left is left type thing, but I can't do it in regular mode?
Because they knew their camera was fine.
It doesn't make sense, though.
Now, Jeff, I mean, you've played it before. How long is the game?
I believe, like, IGN's review said it was about 12 hours, and that sounds right from my memory. Now, it could go a couple hours longer if you suck at it.
And you're saying that you do have to do the side stuff. Like, that's...
Yeah, you're going to have to do some stuff to get your pearls to build up your hovercraft. But, I mean, it's kind of sort of the main stuff in a way, because you got to do it, you know?
You have to get all those upgrades?
It's like...
Yeah, in order to beat... Yeah, like, because in order to access the next levels and stuff, like, eventually you're going to be able, your hovercraft is going to have to jump to get past, like, a laser beam to get it to a certain level.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, yeah.
And then you probably need the big one in the back that'll allow you to go to the moon.
Yep. And that's the end.
That's 30. Jesus, that's a lot. It's a lot of chips or pearls or whatever.
I know that there's like, one boss, though, that drops, like, 15 pearls for you, so...
Oh, shit.
So it's not as bad as it looks.
It's like a pearl necklace.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. I wanted to have a short episode, but Jeff assures me that we want to talk about news this week, so let's get to it. What's in the news?
Holy fuck. What do you got, Tony?
All right, well, I guess the first thing we have to talk about is Duke Nukem Forever.
Why?
The ESRB released their summary of why it was rated the way it was. So they have like the little descriptions of what happens in the game.
Right.
And it is absolutely hilarious. So it says things like, during the course of the game, players enter a strip club level and view several topless dancers and receive lap dances. A couple of missions within this level require players to recover sex toys and pictures of topless women.
That's awesome.
I just think it's funny how they make the developers like spill all this stuff out. And the level of detail they go down to is amazing. A few sequences imply sexual acts. Two women appear to perform fellatio on a central character, e.g. raising their heads from his lap. Duke moans and leans against the wall of a bathroom stall.
Wow, yeah, that's fucking detailed as shit. I mean, that's only like one mission right there.
I mean, pretty soon you're gonna have middle-aged women buying the
right.
The rating summary, reading it in the bathroom.
Yeah, it seems like a fucking romance novel right there or something. Duke freaking caresses her.
Well, I mean, were we expecting anything less from
Duke? Oh no, I think that's exactly what we expected from Duke.
I don't think that they should release all that information until like the date comes out or something.
I think they don't technically release it. It gets leaked.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that like stuff like that gets leaked nonstop now.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder who's leaking it. Like, that might be the developer leaking it. Like,
right.
I mean, that's press right there. That's publicity.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, so,
if you haven't gotten some in a while, play Duke.
We'll go ahead.
Oh, what's next?
What we got next?
Let's see. Oh, Infamous 2. There was some major Infamous 2.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it got both a street date and some news about the level generator.
Yes.
Apparently it has a Little Big Planet-esque level generator where you can, like, put in enemies and build up levels. And
I like the concept. I do.
But it's not just like it looks like you create like full missions, maybe even with like story elements. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I think that I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but I think that it's on like the right track of what I like to see in a game, where I can take the characters that are already in it and I can create my own missions from it. So I think that this could be potentially amazing. Idea. I just don't know how well they're going to implement it because it's still relatively new.
Yeah, the only thing about this idea is that I don't think I'll ever use the feature.
Well, you don't think so?
No.
But
I've never used the level creator Little Big Planet.
Yeah, but to play other people's
levels. Yeah, but don't you? Yeah, exactly.
I guess.
All right.
I don't know. With a game like this, I mean, I'm in it for the story. I'm in for the narrative.
But it'd be pretty cool.
The things that attract me to the game are not the things that would make me keep playing. And I don't know.
It gives you good replay value. I think it's a good idea. I'm sticking to that.
Sorry.
Fine, whatever. Wrong.
I'm with you, Tony.
Like, it's a fine feature, I guess. I guess if you're in the situation that we were talking about before, where if you don't get that many games. And it adds a level of value to the game that it wouldn't have otherwise. But
well, that's what I'm saying. It's adding that little bit extra. But I mean, is it going to feel tacked on though, or is it going to feel like it's well done? Like that's the thing. Is like how much time do they put into this?
I don't know. See, like I understand what you're saying, Foz, and I also understand your like kind of your question there. But even the good stuff that's put in, like. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, like the multiplayer.
Right.
Like, I just don't see what that at. Like, I'm sure there are people out there that really enjoy it, and that's keeping them playing it. But I don't. Like, for me at least, that's not why I go to those games, and I'm still not going to go to those games for something like that.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from, that some games should still be strictly for single player. Like Brotherhood or something like that. But, I mean, I think that, if anything, this is just a good idea to get other game companies creative with their games. And maybe this can, like, you know, show them that this could work. Or I don't know how exactly, you know, they're going to do it. But I like the whole play, create, share type genre anyway. So I think it's a cool idea.
It'll be interesting. So, what's up next?
Jeff, you got a whole bunch of news over there, GDC and all that.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I don't know if you guys have been following, but there's a ton of shit.
I think the problem is that Chris and I have been, like, unreachable for, like, the past week.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I got, like, some of the big stuff. I'm sure there's things that I'm missing that I don't care about, but such as Prototype 2 or whatever.
All right, nobody cares about that.
Yeah. Lots of Nintendo news. 3DS, for one. I think we talked about this once before, but the eShop for it will launch in May.
Yeah.
They didn't say like what the launch titles were, although someone did tell me Link's Awakening will be one of them. But it's going to have Game Boy Color, TurboGrafx, and Game Gear games. Which, I mean, TurboGrafx, big deal. That's on everything. Right. But, you know.
Game Gear's going to be sweet. Game Boy.
I guess they're adding the TurboGrafx stuff in because they were one of the... I don't know if you guys remember, but they had that monster handheld system that could play the actual TurboGrafx 16 games on it.
Oh, wasn't that the Lynx?
The Atari was the Lynx. I don't even remember what the hell it was called, but it was basically a portable TurboGrafx 16. Like, it was pretty cool, but it also, like, weighed a ton.
Probably lasted, like, 1 hour.
Yeah.
Six D batteries.
You had to charge, like, yeah, exactly, like a six-pack of D batteries.
Cost you $35 per hour. Operate the fucking thing.
It would be cool if they just threw up, like, whatever on there, but, I mean, I'm very excited to play the Game Boy games that I missed, so that's cool.
It was called the Turbo Express.
Nice. Express. I don't remember that.
It was a friggin' monster, man.
I still have a Game Gear, I think. Oh, no, wait, I think I threw it out, but I remember all the other handhelds.
Right.
Anyone have anything else to say on that? Because I got plenty more.
You go ahead.
Please continue.
Yeah.
Super Mario 3DS has been announced.
Super Mario.
Give a date?
No.
They gave nothing. They showed a... They didn't even show a trailer. They just showed a picture of the logo with a little tail on it.
Raccoon Mario?
It had a little raccoon suit, like, teaser, or I guess, on the logo for it. But I think they also showed a few screens of it. It's made by the studio that made Super Mario Galaxy, and the screens looked like Mario Galaxy.
So right.
That is get excited territory right there.
Yeah, that might get me to buy one.
Yeah, I did see the Zelda pictures at the shop, and they look fucking amazing.
Of Ocarina?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit about that game? That game's like, what, 15 years old?
Well, there's a lot of people that are excited about that.
Those people are stupid.
Oh. Harsh.
Fuck those people. Fuck them.
That they did give a date for that, though, right? June or something?
Yeah, June. So, I mean, what else? And Nintendo said that you can expect them to do something for Zelda's 25th anniversary. What it'll be, who knows? My guess would be a bundle with Ocarina of Time for 3DS, but it's just me guessing completely.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to do like that Super Mario All-Stars, except it's going to be called Link's All-Stars, and it'll be like Zelda 1, Zelda 2, and Zelda 3 on a DVD.
I could see that. I mean, I think a gold 3DS bundle would be fucking sweet, and I would buy that.
Maybe they throw on Ocarina and Majora's Mask, because they're all available on the Virtual Console, so...
And they were all, and they actually did a collection like that for GameCube, which that's why I wouldn't buy it. I already got the damn thing. So
you put Wind Waker on it, and I might think about it.
Yeah, that would be cool. The fuck do they want me to shoot here? Oh yeah. Anyways, so yeah, there's your Nintendo.
Can we stop
there's
talking your... about freaking Nintendo for a second.
There's your Nintendo news. I don't think I have any more in terms of Nintendo.
Excellent.
Unless I forgot something. Something I just saw on IGN before we recorded here is they got to see, they didn't get like hands on, but they got to see Dead Island in action.
Right, and it was not anything like the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they said it was like a first person like hack and slash, basically.
Awesome.
So like first person melee based like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. Actually, the guy kept comparing it. I forgot who wrote it, but the guy kept comparing it to Dead Rising, like just because it was completely goofy and you could combine weapons and shit.
It was
some black guy
goofy.
Shouting "bitch" at everybody.
So, I mean, who knows? He said it looked fun though.
You guys know that this game's been in development for like 5 or 6 years too. Like,
see, right. I think Dead Rising 2 copied it. I think they saw something and copied it.
Maybe.
Good. I hope all these zombie games tank, and then we can just get this zombie fade.
Hey.
Bad.
I think if it's a good game, like I mean, I don't want the zombie games to tank. Like, if it's
Shut
a good game,
it.
I want it to be a good game. Like,
no, get all this zombie vampire shit out of my face.
You're always gonna have monsters.
I want dragons and fucking.
Dragons.
Swords fucking
dragons
killing
bad,
shit.
Dude.
But you have that. You have that with Dragon Age. You
dragons
have
versus zombies. Dragon would dominate everything.
Dragon breathes fire.
Yes. And
zombies
breed stupidness.
Okay.
And you don't identify with that?
Look, it's living undead. What? That makes no sense. Undead. That means they're living. So
they're not,
living.
They're not living.
They're living. That makes no sense.
They're not.
I will end Fine. All zombie freaking vampire stupid games.
And vampires are completely different. Vampires are something completely different than zombies.
Yeah,
we're
vampires have
me.
Like a consciousness.
They're all stupid and pale.
Zombies have their flesh is falling off.
Yeah, they're pale. And their flesh is coming
I'm not
out.
Arguing with you about this.
Some of them are black. Did you play Resident Evil?
That's racist.
It's not racist. Zombies are multicultural.
That's it.
Yeah, they were Spanish in Resident Evil 4.
That's it. I'm getting my goddamn dragon in here.
I think
you don't have a dragon. I think that's a lie.
Dude. Resident Evil 6 should take place in Iran.
Yeah.
They have like Middle Eastern
Persian zombies.
Persian zombies, exactly.
Is that your problem with it? There just hasn't been a Persian zombie game, Posse?
No, my problem is that it's stupid. It's living undead. Makes no sense.
There's been Persian zombie games like Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't care. Get zombies out of my face.
All right. So what's up next?
What do we got? We talked about Infamous. Oh yeah, okay. So there were two games that people saw glimpses of. One more so than others, probably, but that people were just like, I apparently thought were amazing. One was Darkness 2.
Oh yeah,
I didn't even know they were making that, but
I heard good things about the first Darkness game. I never played it.
I don't think this is by the same people, though.
It was pretty good. It wasn't anything really to write home about, but...
Yeah, I played a little of it. You know, I do remember playing the demo, though, and, like, the demo blowing me away, and then after that, like, it was, like, okay. So
The guy who's, like, the lead singer of Faith No More, I forgot his name, but he's... he does a really good job in it as the Darkness, but... I don't know. I'm not like super excited for it. It's not something that I'm, you know, waiting hands and knees for.
Yes.
Hands and knees for?
I like to wait hands and knees.
Starbreeze were the people who made the original. The Darkness. And
never mind.
Digital Extremes are the people making this one.
I don't even know who they are.
I believe they made the game Dark Sector.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard a lot of hype about that game, but I don't remember it doing well.
It was all right.
The guy had like a boomerang or something.
Yeah, it was like the Krull, it was like the glaive from Krull.
There you go.
Oh yeah. Anyways. So none of us really played Darkness One, huh?
I did. I didn't beat it, but I played a few hours. Like I said, it wasn't anything to write home to mom about.
I was gonna think of a Fozzie's mom joke, but I'll pass. The other one that I think only a few people really got to see, but the people that did see it were like, "Wow, you gotta check this out!" is Saints Row 3, which is cool because actually like Saints Row. So,
Yeah, I heard that it's going to be over top again, which is nice.
yeah, nice change of pace from GTA.
Again, I'll probably rent this one. I don't think I'll buy it, though.
I'm gonna buy it. And I remember too, like reading an article with some guy at THQ last year that was like, we're really gonna get behind the Saints Row franchise from here on out. It's gonna like the third one, and he's like, it is coming, and it's gonna be way bigger and better. So I was like, that got me hyped up about it. And that was like a year ago. And then like when they finally revealed it to some of the press, I guess at GDC, like the people that saw it were like, they wanted it. So I want it.
Okay. Awesome.
You know what? Oh no, Battlefield 3. I'm sure everyone saw Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3? Never heard of it.
You know what?
There was like a trail worth like 3 minutes of gameplay.
They did? They have a trailer out for it? Is it good?
Where have you guys been all week?
Sick, working.
I've been sick.
Sleepy.
Like, I heard about the trailer, I didn't have time to watch it. How about that?
Boom.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm not a big, I don't like Battlefield, really. I've never really gotten into it, but it looks
You're dead to
amazing.
me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I will make up for it by getting Battlefield 3, because it looks really good.
Nice.
It's not
Oh,
another
yeah.
Bad Company, it's just Battlefield 3.
Right.
Right.
Well, Bad Company's a spin-off anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not, it's like the main fucking thing.
Yeah, the second one was great, so this should be just as good.
God, I'm stuck. I don't know. Was there something else? Yes, there was something else. I'm pretty sure. Oh yeah, the final thing that I can think of is we kind of already knew this as a rumor, but it's been confirmed that Bungie's next game is an MMO.
Who confirmed it?
Dun dun
Bungie did.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I just clicked on the IGN article and it starts off by saying it's not World of Warcraft in space,
Yeah,
but
they didn't actually like they didn't say it was an. I guess they said it's massively multiplayer.
yeah.
They didn't say it was a massively multiplayer shooter. They didn't say what it was, just that it is
Right.
a massively multiplayer game of some sort.
Right.
Yeah, and there's n no more
Know.
information on it other than that.
Other
That's
than
kind of
Bungie's Joseph Staten or Staten says, "Wouldn't it be great
stalling.
if we can make a world that was always there for you?"
That's an old quote, though. That's from a long time ago.
Why do you gotta? Why do you gotta?
The
Why
according to Joystick, I guess it was during the talk today. Lead network engineer David Aldridge just told them that it would be massively multiplayer, and then, as Jeff said, it would not simply be WoW in space.
So, yeah.
We'll see. I'm sure we'll hear something about it in the coming months, probably by
Right.
E3, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
You got anything else, Jeff?
Is
I think
it?
that
It's
was
coming
it.
out next year, right? Though next
Oh, we
year.
gotta talk about findmakarov.com.
What? I actually have a couple other pieces of news too. But
cool. There was a website opened up. I think it was either late last week or early this week, called findmakarov.com, and a lot of people were saying, "Oh wow, it's confirmed. Modern Warfare 3 is coming out." But apparently, because you know Makarov, the character from Modern Warfare games, Activision then swore off all involvement with this website, and apparently it's not for the game. It's for some Call of Duty fan movie that they're gonna make.
Yeah.
Who's we or they?
These people.
They are.
They're people.
Oh.
As I wait for my.
I thought you were saying like Activision's like making a fucking spin-off movie. Like,
no, oh. it's a marketing company. We Can Pretend.
Oh, fun.
This kind of sounds to me like you guys remember the Mortal Kombat?
Right, that 5-minute little thing.
Yeah, and that it looks like they might be trying to, you know, spin this off into something like that. Like, hey, we'll make this awesome trailer or whatever. Maybe Activision will hire us to do some more shit.
Right. Well, go them.
Yeah, findmakarov.com takes you to a YouTube site. So.
All right. Okay. Very cool.
All right. So, I'm scanning the news lines right now. Evidently, Red Dead won a bunch of awards at the GDC award show that they had. It won Best Game, Best Game Design, Best Technology, Best Audio.
And oh my god.
I think that was it. Innovation Award went to Minecraft. Best Handheld Game went to Cut the Rope.
Cut the Rope. I love that game.
Best Writing went to Mass Effect 2. Best Visual Arts went to Limbo. And that's about it for that.
Those are some crazy fucking titles.
Homefront has become THQ's most pre-ordered title ever.
Wow.
I mean, they have their most massive marketing campaign for it ever.
Yeah, so it makes sense. They also had a little bit of a PR blunder today. They had a like mock, I don't know if it was mock or not, but they staged a protest of North Korea in San Francisco. Shit. And they released like a 1,000 or 10,000 red GameStop branded balloons into the air.
Oh shit.
Except the way the weather was in San Francisco, they all deflated rather quickly and descended into the bay.
Oh, so shit.
Now a bunch of people are pissed off at them.
That's awesome.
That didn't work.
There's a demo of Mortal Kombat coming to PS3 next week. Anybody care about that? Anybody?
Well, I might try that.
Yeah, I'll try that out for sure.
I'll give it a shot.
I don't like fighting games, but Mortal Kombat was my fighting game when I like tried to care.
It's a fighting game for casual gamers.
Sure. I'll accept that.
The PSP...
I'll take that.
The PSP and the PSP Go both got price cuts. The PSP, I believe...
Finally.
Jeffy, correct me if I'm wrong, but $130 for the PSP.
Yeah.
And the Go is now marked at $199.
I saw it for $149 on the PlayStation official website.
Well, there you go.
And go, I mean.
I almost pulled the trigger on it, too. I was on eBay.
So I put some the trigger on it.
I know.
eBay's awesome.
Thank God I didn't get the Go, though.
Didn't you have a bad week on eBay this week? When was this?
Well, was it bad, or he just won everything that he bid?
I think it was bad because it was too good.
Yeah. So what did you win, Jeff?
What?
What did you win off of eBay?
I won Let Me In, Catfish, really cheap too, all this stuff. Well, most of them. And Dragon, or not Dragon Age,
Why don't Oblivion? You just go on Amazon for any movie?
Okay. I don't know, because I got
you
Let Me
get
In
it
for
cheaper on eBay if you win.
Yeah, I got Let Me In for $5, dude. I got Oblivion, and I got Dead Space New Factory Sealed for $40. Not bad, I say.
No, that's pretty good.
Space 2 for 40?
Who?
Never mind.
What?
All right, the last piece of news that I think might be interesting and might spark a little bit of discussion by us is evidently Epic, the Epic Games, Mike Capps, stated in an interview at GDC that he'd love to bring Gears of War 3 to the PS3.
Oh.
That's going to be a problem.
Evidently, Epic owns the Gears IP, and they're just under an exclusivity deal with Microsoft at this point. So, here's his quote. Time and time again, when it comes down to figure out what we do next with Gears, we sat down with Microsoft, and they've given us really good, compelling reasons to work with them again. They don't just market it, they do amazing work, and they have a user testing team that makes our games better. And so each time we come up to the point, what do we do next? We've been happy to work with them. They help us make a better product and do some really cool marketing on the platform, so we save some money there. But he also said, do we wish we could take all those Killzone players and Resistance fans on the PS3 and get them to say Gears is awesome? Yeah, sure, I'd love to ship the Gears trilogy on PlayStation. That would be fun. I want it to be there. I want it to be everywhere. So, I don't know.
Bring it to the Wii's.
I don't know if that would work.
Well, yeah. Maybe they can do like a collection or something. Like Gears 1 and 2 you could get for full price, and you get like 2 Platinums or something for that.
It sounds like as long as Microsoft keeps giving them reasons to not let them do it, like
right.
It looks like Microsoft's dumping a lot of money into Gears. Is what I'm basically trying to say. So, and
but would people even be excited for it? I mean, it's not Mass Effect by any means. I mean,
and it's really
I bet both Gears games sold better than Mass Effect.
Gears is a bigger seller than Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true. That is true. But like, I mean, especially the PlayStation. I mean, that console is flooded with first-person shooters. I don't know.
Yeah, except they're mediocre compared to a lot of what's on. I mean, really, like Killzone's a good game, but would you take it over Halo?
No, definitely not Halo, but definitely over Gears.
And Resistance is. I don't even think Resistance is on Killzone's level.
No.
Honestly,
that's weird. I would Kill Resistance more, but anyways,
I like the Resistance story. I don't know about the multiplayer. Multiplayer always seemed a little squirrely to me.
Squirrely,
a little too fast paced, and made no sense to me.
Right.
But I think Gears would do really well on Sony platform, and that could really hurt Microsoft if it went there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it would sell. It would sell better than Mass Effect is selling on it. But
numbers aren't high for it.
It doesn't seem that way to me, anyways. I'm not looking. I'm just speaking from like experience. But
well, yeah, you work at GameStop, so you would kind of know.
It's like at most we only ever have like 3 copies of that game, and no one ever buys it. Like,
really?
I think we had 1 pre-order for the PS3 version. What? Then again, I do work at a ghetto ass store where like the big games are Mortal Kombat and 2K and shit like that.
Right.
The word that I've heard though is, I think you're right, Jeff. It's not selling particularly well on the PlayStation. I'm just wondering, like, this is the thing about games coming out later is,
right?
I mean, how much is, like, if you really wanted to play that game, you would find a way to play it.
Right. You'd find it on PC. You'd find it on Xbox. Right. Plus, it's a gamer's game. Like, it's for the hardcore, and a lot of them have both consoles anyway.
Yeah.
Not the main. Yeah, and not to mention, I didn't really see that much marketing. I mean, I saw a lot when it came out, but not really for a PS3 version per se.
Now, here's the
360.
Here's the I mean, these are the numbers off VG charts, which is, they're not always the most accurate, but they're fairly decent.
I don't think there is an accurate set of numbers.
Right.
Fine.
I mean, this is probably about as close as you're going to get. They're saying it's only sold about 230,000 copies worldwide.
Right.
140 in the U.S.
Yeah, that's not very good.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, and I mean, you know, they're saying Mass Effect 2 sold, you know, 2.5 million, a little over 2.5 million copies. And most of those.
Wow, actually, that's amazing! Just to think that it sold 2.5 on 360 and only 250 on PS.
Yeah, I mean, there's that year difference too.
And there's also the fact that it was like $20 within a month or two.
Not to mention, you have to think about all those PlayStation 3 people that bought it that had already played on the 360 as well. That just bought it because they're such fucking, like, Halo, Mass Effect 3 fanatics.
By comparison, just to bring us back to Gears for a second.
Or Mass Effect 2 fanatics.
The numbers that VG Charts has for Gears and Gears 2. Gears of War 1 sold over 6 million copies, and so did Gears of War 2.
Nice.
So the Gears of War 1 and 2 by themselves sold more than the Mass Effect series as a whole.
Right. Yeah, I guess that doesn't really surprise me. It's definitely geared a lot towards the casual gamer too, so.
And I mean, role-playing games, and there's a lot to, you know, kind of bite off there, so.
Well, Western RPGs in general, yeah, you have to devote a lot of fucking time into them.
Yeah.
Even Oblivion, which all of us are excited for, it probably won't sell all that well when you look back at it.
You mean Skyrim?
Not Oblivion, yeah. Elder Scrolls.
I'll run the numbers on Oblivion real quick. Just to see what they are. Yeah, Oblivion about... On the 360, Oblivion sold 3.5 million.
Right. That's really good, I think.
On the PS3,
it's good, but when you look at it,
how many did it sell on the PS3?
2 million.
Because it had the same thing happen with Oblivion that happened with Mass Effect 2.
Right, right.
It came out like a year or two before.
I'm wondering.
Came out. There was only so many games that were out already. There was only like maybe 20 games out.
I think that might have helped it a whole lot more. Right. Because at the time there was really no RPGs on the PS3.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's a ton now.
Oh, God, no.
But if you look, like, Little Big Planet 2 launched right around the same time as Mass Effect. That's a new game over a game that's a year old.
Yep.
Dead Space 2 launched around that time.
And that's also a gamer's game, if you ask me. You know, it's not something that you're, like, Call of Duty fags are going to... I mean, Call of Duty players are going to...
Giggity.
You know what I mean?
And by fags, he means bundle of sticks.
Yes.
Cigarette.
Or cigarette.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean... I don't know how good... I don't even think Elder Scrolls V is going to sell as good as Oblivion did, to be honest.
It'll sell better.
You think so?
It'll be later in the console life. There's more consoles out there.
There's that, but yeah, when Oblivion came out, that was the only big game.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, but nobody owned 360s.
And think about how many games are coming in November, dude. I mean, you got Mass Effect, you got maybe Duty, maybe Halo, you got Uncharted 3. I mean, holy shit, you got a lot to choose from.
I still think that The Elder Scrolls is going to draw better on PC.
That's a possibility.
That is a PC gamer's PC game.
Yeah.
Like, they do a good job of bringing it to the console, but that is, like, the people that I know that are excited for it, that's where they're going to purchase it at. They're not going to buy it on a console.
Right.
Aside from you guys.
I'm getting out of 360. I'm all over that game. Okay. I wasn't even a huge fan of the first one, or the fourth one, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not that shit.
Oh yeah, man, it's gonna be sick for sure.
It looks amazing.
I hope it's more like Fallout than Oblivion.
Shut your! Don't you ever?
I'm a bigger Fallout
like
fan.
That again.
I just want it more. I want the narrative more focused. Like, I don't, like, you can have all the side shit you want, but I want a narrative that I can actually
understand. You're retarded. Understand. You play Fallout, you play Fallout. Okay, do not ruin this for me.
Fallout's awesome, dude.
I will end your life.
The narrative in Fallout is at least, like, there's something you can follow there. Like, I got so off track in Oblivion.
There you.
And I also don't like the fucking enemies scaling to your level.
They altered that. I know there's some level, but it's not nearly as extreme as it was
in
Oblivion.
That game got like ridiculously hard early on, because like I did not spec my character I wasn't set up the right way.
It made me really glad I bought a guide for the game. Like I knew how to scale my character as I went along, because I'd have been lost at the end.
True.
So yeah, Gears of War 3 and maybe PS3.
Oh my god.
Probably not. But I just like to, you know, poke PS3 only fanboys with sticks every once in a while.
Fuck you, Javi.
And then there's that rumored Kinect title for the rumored Gears Kinect title.
Oh god.
So, we'll see how that goes. I bet you see that at E3. All right, Jeff, I know you put the call out there for some emails. Why don't we just hit them before me and Tony die?
Real quick, I have one last piece of news.
Okay.
Damn it, Jeff.
It's actually a comment from Dexter23Jack on Twitter.
Oh.
I was just arguing with Brian about Beyond Good and Evil, and I said, you know, don't give up on it until you play the factory level. And okay. Daxter says, I'll have to side with Jeff on this one. The elements introduced in that level are what really excel the game.
That's not news.
What is this? Yes,
that's fucking news.
Someone agreed with Jeff. That is news.
Can we just ban him from this podcast for the rest of the day? That'd be nice. I guess we have to agree with Jeff, though. It is his birthday, so. All right, Jeff.
Can we spank him or something?
Chris can do that.
I actually only got a couple questions though, guys.
That's okay. We forgive you.
Yeah, we'll forgive you.
One last bit of news that's gonna make everyone pretty sad. Sean is not going to PAX.
Oh, that is sad.
What happened?
I don't know.
He said he has something happened to friend of his.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, so that sucks. I was definitely looking forward to having some drinks with him. Anyways. I just have two questions, it looks like. Sean D. Knight wants to know, what's our most anticipated first-person shooter game and why? I have to think about that.
Wow, like first-person shooter as an actual first-person shooter or just a shooter game in general?
First person. I don't know what comes to mind here.
My most anticipated shooter the rest of the year is Gears, and that's a third person shooter.
He wants FPS.
But yeah,
Battlefield 3. Right,
yeah, Battlefield 3, which
yeah,
I think
I'll go with that one.
I kind of hope it gets pushed to next year, but.
All right, let's say if that was pushed to next year, I'm going to modify his question for you guys since you're all going to go Battlefield 3. If that's pushed next year, what would be your biggest FPS for this year?
Whatever this Halo game is going to be.
Whatever that Halo doohickey. I guess Modern Warfare, if it comes out.
Come on.
What else? What do you see?
I'm trying to think.
I would go like if the Halo game isn't actually announced, so I can't pick that. And I am looking forward to Homefront, unlike you guys, but I wouldn't say it's my most anticipated. I would probably say Resistance 3 outside of that. Like,
yeah.
I enjoy the Resistance games, just not the multiplayer.
Right.
I don't know. I gotta say, I'm kind of burned out on first-person shooters in a way. Like, for me, this is the year of the RPGs, man. Like, there's so many awesome RPGs and shit coming out. Or just, like, action games and shit. But the one that, like, popped into my head when I read the question, this is gonna make you guys pissed, is Duke Nukem. I'm looking forward to it, man. I might even just buy it out of pure curiosity.
Well, there you go. Jeff has lost his mind, and
it was that Sean news that sent me over the edge.
That is sad.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
And Movie Guru 83 was. God damn you, Fonzie. He wants to know, what game are you most looking forward to playing at PAX?
At PAX.
I'm looking forward to the game where I drink lots and lots of alcohol.
Right, flip like, cup. Actually on the show floor? Flip cup.
Absolutely. I don't care if I get kicked out the first day. You're going to go PAX and, you know, you're going to love it. And then you're going to be like, eh, it's pretty cool. And then you're going to be like, eh, I want to drink some.
The drinking was fun, right?
Yeah. So, I already did it. So, I'm looking forward to drinking heavily with my friends. Drinking some more.
I don't know about actually playing. I do know there is going to be a live demo on the show floor of Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see that, because we haven't seen anything on that besides a couple of trailers.
Let's see. There's a couple. Portal 2 is going to be there. I'm interested in seeing that. And Telltale is going to be there. And if they bring Jurassic Park, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
And they had it playable at their event 2 weeks ago, so I'm hoping maybe they'll have it on the floor, because that would be really cool.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that Rockstar and Nintendo aren't going to be there.
Nintendo was there last year, so...
So if Nintendo's there, I really just want like a minute to look at the 3DS. I don't even give a shit if I get to play it. I'll just like sidle up next to somebody and look at it, see what it looks like.
I want to spit on one.
You son of a...
Jeff has killed for less.
If they had LA Noire there, that would be awesome, but I kind of... You know, they never show off their games, so... I don't know. I guess I'll just look forward to whatever's there and getting fucked up.
Yeah, doggy.
How do I get out of this goddamn temple, man?
That can't be good.
I just checked our mail, and the Gigawatt Conduit.
Yeah.
Sent in a message. First off, he'd like to wish happy birthday to El Jefe.
Sweet.
He's Thank sorry you. That you have to spend it listening to Fozzie asking you about taking shots and trying to defend his mom. Here's a question that he has. With the announcement of Infamous 2 having a mission creator, do you think that more and more games for consoles will have something akin to this? Halo and Little Big Planet started the trend, so it seems like Infamous and some other games will keep it going. More importantly, would you want to see more and more games do that to increase their longevity and encourage creativity? Not every game, after all, could have the possibility of future DLC. We kind of touched on that a little bit before, but you guys want to expand on that?
I think what's happening with games is that it's so easy to resell games now that only games with really big hooks for maintaining that longevity maintain any sort of high price structure over any length of time. So, like, for example, Mass Effect 2, fantastic, utterly amazing game that came out last year, and now you can pick it up for the Xbox 360 for $15, whereas you can find Modern Warfare 2 still out there for $40.
Right.
That's a good point, man. You're probably right. That's probably like the motive behind some of that.
Yeah, so any feature that causes a game to be worth more and actually cause you to keep it instead of reselling it is going to be looked at really seriously by developers and publishers.
I just ran into this yesterday. I traded in my copy of Black Ops, and GameStop is running a promotion right now where you get extra money for trading your shit in.
Right.
But I ended up getting $40 back for Black Ops. And I also traded in Dead Space 2, and I only got 30 for Dead Space 2.
You'd be surprised, like, Two Worlds 2, which I think came out even more recently, you'll get less for.
No, I'm not surprised by that at all, because I also traded in a Venetica, and I think I got $6 for that.
Nice.
Nice.
It seems like, you know, obviously more people are holding on to Black Ops than they are Dead Space.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So there's your answer, Gigawatt. I think that's it for us. We got anything else want to touch on?
I want to touch on Bobby's mom.
I want to touch on my freaking pillow.
All right. Fozzie's going to go touch his pillow. Tony's going to go touch Fozzie's mom. Jeff's going to probably go touch Tiny Chat.
Yeah. I'm trying to get unstuck in this game. I'm so stuck. I can't get out of the level. I just be like, it just won't let me out.
Is it Beyond Good and Evil that you're playing?
Yeah. Like,
can we mock it now? You're stuck. The game doesn't work.
Broken.
Don't buy it.
Broken
it
game.
It's just... can't get out. Like,
I think that's one of the issues with last-gen games is that the pathfinding now is so much better.
Well, you go back to, like, N64, it was atrocious.
Oh, God.
You're just like, what am I doing?
And level design was so, like, repetitious that you could never figure out where you were.
Yeah, like, go play, like, Banjo or something. You'd be like, okay, what am I doing? What the fuck? I don't know, man. Anyways, I'm stuck, so yeah. I'll see you on Tiny Chats.
Alrighty. So we're out.
Later, kids.